Hi, this is Sam Payne, host of The Appleseed. And before we start the show, we've got exciting news. Have you ever listened to The Appleseed and thought, hey, I could do that. I've got a story to tell. Well, now here's your chance. This May, we are collecting your stories. We're going to air them in a special episode of The Appleseed called DIY Stories. The episode will air in July, and we want to hear from you. We'd especially love to hear the stories you shared after listening to an episode of The Appleseed. Which memories and stories were sparked for you by listening to the show? Find a quiet spot to record the story on your phone. You can tell a story by yourself or with a friend or family members helping play the parts. It's got to be 5 minutes or less and appropriate for a family audience. Please send your stories to theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. And you may just end up on The Appleseed. Stories have to be submitted by May 31st, 2025 to be considered. And now, on with the podcast. Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. What's your favorite kind of pie? Cherry? Lemon meringue? Chocolate silk? Mine's peach, if you want to know. I mean, if you ever feel like you need to make a pie for someone. There's a pie I don't love, though. It's called humble pie. Sometimes we get too big for our britches, and something comes along to knock us down a bit, to humble us. And it doesn't feel great while it's happening. And people have a phrase for that feeling. They call it eating humble pie. And a couple of characters in today's stories eat a little humble pie. You'll see. Like in this West African folktale told for us by Antonio Rocha. The story is called The Lion Prince. And we're happy to bring it to you today on The Appleseed.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. So we're going to go to Africa now. Part of my heritage is African from Gabon, but this is a cloth from Cameroon, not very far away up north from Gabon. All right. Well, one day, a lion discovered that he was going to be king. Woo! Can you imagine you waking up and your parents telling you that you're going to be king or queen one day? This lion got so excited. Puffed up his chest, jumped out into the wilderness, and went out and about. He even made a song. He made up a song. That's how happy it was. You know, people make songs up when they get all excited. This lion did too. And this lion was like, woo, I'm going to figure out my whole kingdom right now, and I'm going to, yeah, ow, 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 I'll be the king of the beasts. Ow, 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 I'll be the king of the... When all of a sudden, the lion spotted an animal. It was eating grass, savanna grass. You know, some people say it's a black animal with white stripes. Some people say it's a white animal with black stripes. You know, it's a zebra. And some call it a zebra. And lion looked at that zebra and said, yo, yo, Stripes, do you know who the king's gonna be? Stripes, I'm talking to you. Stripes, Stripes. And the zebra had never been called Stripes. That's a terrible thing. You do not call people the way they look. That's horrible. You know, and here's that lion doing that, and the zebra is just standing there going, who's calling me Stripes? I have beautiful stripes, but that's not my name. That's not... This who's calling me Stripes? Oh, it's you! Yes, you're going to be king one day. Yeah, you're going to be king. And your father's a wonderful king. Your mom is a wonderful queen. And I bow to you, but my name is Zebra. And I would prefer if you called me Zebra instead of Stripes. I have stripes. I'm proud of them, but my name is Zebra. I'm glad you know I'm going to be the king one day. Stripes. Ooh. And the lion got all excited and went, ow, ow, mm-mm-mm, ow, mm-mm-mm, ow, mm-mm-mm, I'll be the king of the beasts. Ow, mm-mm-mm, ow, mm-mm-mm, ow, mm-mm-mm, I'll be the king of the
beasts.
Yeah. When all of a sudden there's this tall animal eating leaves from the top of trees. Beautiful, elegant, tall animal just standing there with its long tongue going, and the lion looked down. Whoa, look at that neck. Yeah, long neck. Do you know who the king's gonna be? Long neck, long neck. I'm talking to you way down here, long neck. And the giraffe was really not happy about it, you know? The giraffe is just there having a meal, and this lion is going, long neck, way from my way down there, you know? And just like, I'm proud of my long neck. I can see far and wide with it, and I'm elegant because of it, but my name is Giraffe. Excuse me, who is? Oh, it's the king's son. Hello there. You are going to be king one day, and I bow to you, and you have a wonderful set of parents, but they call me Giraffe, you know. My name is Giraffe, and I'd appreciate if you do the same. Giraffe. I'm glad you know I'm going to be king one day. Yeah. Long neck. When is this kid going to learn? I don't know. And he puffed out his chest and went, ow, mm-mm-mm, ow, mm-mm-mm, ow, mm-mm-mm, I'll be the king of the beasts. Ow, mm-mm-mm, ow, mm-mm-mm, ow, mm-mm-mm. And that's when the lion spotted a rock, huge rock. There are no other rocks around. The trees, you know, acacia trees here and there, savanna grass, just one single rock. Ooh, the rock was moving. Lion got a little suspicious. As flat things moved out, rock started to fan around. And then this long thing went up in the air. I was like, whoa, whoa. Yo, Trunks. Trunks, do you know who the king's gonna be? Trunks, Trunks. Thing was, this was no ordinary elephant. It was a tired, stressed out, needing a break, mama elephant. Mama elephant had kind of passed her baby, her toddler elephant, to her sister to take him, get him tired, while she kind of took some time for herself. You know, like all mamas need time for herself, right? Yeah, and she found this nice volcanic mud bath to soak her nice thick skin in there. You know, people they pay top dollars to go to a spa like this. You know, Mama Elephant had it all free of charge right there, bubbling in that volcanic mud. And this thing is in the back going, yo, Trunks, do you know who the king's gonna be? Trunks, Trunks, somebody with big ears, you do have a hard time hearing, don't you? Trunks, he wouldn't let off. And Mama Elephant's just waiting. Yeah, and ignoring, because sometimes when you ignore kids like that, you know, chances are they'll get tired. But this lion wouldn't get tired. It just kept on repeating, yo, Trunks, you know the king. And then Mama Elephant kept on ignoring. And the lion got closer and closer and closer and closer still. And then he tapped Mama Elephant on one of her back legs. Can't you hear me? Do you know who the king's gonna be? And that's when Mama pulled one leg out of the mud, another leg out of the mud, and when all four legs stood on that grass, Mama Elephant was tall, and there was no running away. Midday darkened, And the lion didn't like it. And with those two little beady eyes, Mama Elephant just stared down at the lion, reached down with her trunk, wrapped the trunk around the lion's middle about three times, and lifted the lion straight up off the ground. I beg your pardon? I was wondering if you knew who the king was going to be, ma'am. It's okay if you don't know. Oh, all of a sudden somebody has manners, calling me ma'am and everything. I know you're going to be king. The sad thing, you're not acting like one. Your father's a wonderful leader. Your mom, a wonderful leader as a queen. And I've been sitting here trying to spend some time on my own. And I heard you way back there calling Zebra Stripes. And I was like, I hope he comes over to me. And then you find Giraffe and call Giraffe Long Leg. What's going on with you here? Are you too excited? You forgot your manners? Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, that's a good start. Kid, sun is low in the sky. Your parents must be getting worried. Shape up. Nobody will listen to you with this attitude. Ouch. And that lion went back home with a whole new song. The lion went home like this. Ouch. 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 I'll be the king of the beasts. That's that story.
That was Antonio Rocha with his story, The Lion Prince. Listening to this story reminds me of something that happened just the other day. I found that there was a little leak in the bathroom sink. When I'd brush my teeth in there, I'd hear the little pat, pat of water droplets underneath the sink cabinet. Now, I'm no plumber, but I know enough to take a look. I know, famous last words, right? Anyway, I got under the sink with a flashlight, and I could see that the leak didn't look like it was coming from the hot water line or the cold water line. Rather, it looked like it was coming from a gap between the faucet assembly and the countertop itself. Well, I got to work. I figured I'd remove the faucet, put a line of silicone caulk between it and the counter, tighten everything back up good. Well, all that is easier said than done, as you can imagine. And before long, I was grumbling under my breath about how tough it was to remove the big plastic nuts that held the faucet to the countertop. In fact, it looked to me like someone had just installed them wrong, upside down even. And when you're under the sink, and the edge of the cabinet is digging into your back, and you can only see what the flashlight can show you, but you really need both hands, and you're fumbling with the wrench, and there's water dripping in your eyes. It's pretty easy to look for someone to blame. And for me, that was whoever installed the faucet in the first place, those knuckleheads. I don't even know who that was. The faucet's been in the house longer than I have, but boy, did they get a piece of my mind. I'd fix that faucet in the right way, not the way those knuckleheads did. Well, I did fix it up my way. Affixed those plastic nuts to the stems that would hold it to the counter, right side up, I might add, not like those knuckleheads had installed them. And then I tightened the hot water line and the cold water line, and then finally, I turned the water on. And boy, the explosion of water all over the inside of that undersink cabinet, it was something to see. Water spraying in my eyes, in my hair, in my mouth, out beyond me into the bathroom. Sputtering and gurgling, I fumbled for the shutoff valves and got them turned off. The bathroom was soaked. I was soaked. And the sink still leaked. And further investigation told me that the way those knuckleheads had put the sink together was, in fact, the right way. The leak was caused by something else, a faulty part that made for a quick trip to the hardware store. And I made that trip eating humble pie all the way. And that's where Antonio's story took me. Where will it take you? And who will you take along?
Hi, Sam here. I just want to tell you about another podcast from BYU Radio. It's one you should really check out. It's called Uncomfy, Sticking with Moments That Challenge Us. And you can listen to it or watch it. It's an audio and video podcast. Now, on Uncomfy, you'll hear stories of real people in moments that challenge their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down or backing off, they stuck with the discomfort. And sometimes that's getting tough feedback from a close friend. Sometimes that's hearing out a colleague from another side of the aisle politically. But in every case, they chose to stay open and curious in those tough moments. And they're glad they did. New episodes of Uncomfy drop every Wednesday. You can listen or watch on the BYU Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Uncomfy, Sticking with Moments That Challenge Us. Check it out. It's such a pleasure to be with you today on the Appleseed. Are you ready for another helping of humble pie? Well, Ohio storyteller Kim Whitecamp is here to serve it up for you with a story called Amusement Parks, recorded live in the Appleseed studio.
You know, I want to thank the Appleseed for having me. As I travel around, I am welcomed with open arms in so many places. Festivals I go to, they put flowers in my room, or they constantly call me and ask me, do I need anything? Or they assign a host to me to make sure I'm taken care of. And then we do our shows. This is one of the few jobs where you get approval and adoration through applause and laughter every few minutes, maybe even seconds. I never have gone out and waited for the garbage man and applauded him and said, great job, you know? I'm telling you, living in that kind of world, it can create a false reality because that is not the normal life. And when we get done traveling and being loved and cared for and applauded and they think I'm funny, they laugh at everything, because my husband just kind of goes, you've already told me that joke. And, you know, we can get high on ourselves, which is legal in every state, by the way. And and it can do things to you. It can make you think that you are capable of things you should not be doing. I liken it to going to the amusement park. You think you can do things you shouldn't. You start doing things that you've never done. For instance, let me give an example. I don't care which one, Disney World, Harry Potter World, whatever you want to talk about, no matter where you go, the county fair, when you pull in, you know, you got a bottle of water and you're drinking it and that's fine. But suddenly when you walk in and you smell the cotton candy and you hear the music of the carousel and you start to move into this false reality, you think, you know what? A bottle of water is not good enough. I do need a 640-ounce hot pink cup with a polar bear on the front and a 5-foot twirly straw, right? Because that's something you see every day in the real world. You walk in and the magic of the place, you walked in with a cute hat like yours, right? And that hat was fine this morning. But when you walk through that amusement park and you smell the smells, see the sights, hear the magic, suddenly you're like, you know what? I do think my whole life I've wanted a 4-foot tall Dr. Seuss hat. Some of us even begin to think the wand works. We get into teacups that spin and create a centrifugal force that brings up meals from 3 weeks ago and we laugh about it. We get on roller coasters that go 65 miles an hour with just a bar in front of us that was checked daily by a guy named Hank who really just wants to retire. So what I'm saying is, just like an amusement park, what it does to us, that false reality that makes us do things that are crazy, like for instance, you arrive there arguing with your husband about where you're going to park, and he's like, you know, I've parked fine my whole life till I met you. I didn't know I was a bad parker. Well, now you know, and I'm telling you, you need to park. But when you enter that magical world, suddenly you're like, oh, I do want to get an airbrush license plate proclaiming our love to put on the back of our car. We will be together forever. He is my prince. It's weird. And it happens to us in this job. Example, I was down in Walhalla, South Carolina. Man, did they treat us good. We had a phenomenal meal. My lodging was lovely. And it was just one of those great shows. And when I was done, man, I am feeling good. And that night, we hung out and talked for a while, ended the festival, just beautifully got up, and I was time to drive home. And as I'm driving home, I'm like, man, I am so high on myself. They love me. I am feeling so good. And I thought, you know what? I can do just about anything. So I called up my stylist. Don't judge her. And I said, Sammy, I said, you know, I'm coming home. And I was just thinking, I'm going to cancel that Tuesday appointment. And she said, why? I said, because I think I can dye my own eyebrows. And she said, what? I said, I can dye my own eyebrows. I'm like a hairless chihuahua. It's there, but I'm very blonde. And again, I'm kind of just lightly dyed so that, you know, I don't look like I shaved them off. And she said, why do you think you can do that? I've been doing that forever. And I'm like, I had a really good weekend and they loved me. And I know that I can do it. I just feel really good. She's like, fine, call me when you're done. So I went home and I was stoked. When I got home, I dropped my luggage, threw it into the washer, and I went to my daughter's bedroom and I got some leftover hair dye that I knew she had. Now, she's more brunette, but I thought I'll just have the time. That'll be fine. And then I went to YouTube because that's where you always go when you need to learn something. And so I watched videos about plucking my eyebrows, you know, make sure it doesn't go past here and make sure the point is here. And so I started plucking until it looked like somebody just slapped my eyebrows. And then I started looking in like proper way to dye your eyebrows. And I watched some videos on that, but then I saw a dolphin rescue video, and then I started watching things about dolphins. And then on the side of watching dolphins, a video popped up of a praying mantis eating a hummingbird, and that was mind-blowing. So I went down that rabbit hole for like an hour. Finally, when I was done, I was ready. I went into the bathroom and I washed my face, and then I mixed up the hair dye and I put it on my eyebrows after I'd patted them dry, and I waited the allotted time, 12 minutes, half the time of what you would normally do if you were a brunette. I was so pumped. I went in there when it was done, when the timer went off, and I leaned over the sink and I put tepid warm water and I washed them, and when I looked in the mirror, there she was, Phyllis Diller. My husband said I looked angry for 3 weeks. Every time I walked in the room, he'd go, what? What did I do? Well, you think I would have learned then that this loving world that I am in as a performing storyteller does not give me a ticket to do whatever I want to do. But I did not learn, because that's just the way of the Kim. It takes a lot to teach me something. And this was a bad one. I was in Williamsburg at the Kimball Theater. Oh, the lodging, stellar. And it was swank, right? Because I know it was swanky because nothing was bolted down. And it was a lovely room. I even got to go to the Williamsburg Spa. I love Williamsburg. And I was feeling so famous. And I went to the back of the Kimball and they put me in a green room and it was a nice full theater. And man, when I was done, I was just feeling really high on myself. And I went back to the hotel and I walked in, and that's when my eye saw that in the bathroom was a scale. And I thought, I'm feeling good. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're over 50 in this room, you know losing any weight's kind of a big deal, right? And I know you're in here because I feel the heat coming off of you. And when you get on a scale over 50, it's like, especially if you're a voluptuous woman like me, the lazy boy version, it's like going to Vegas. It's like, am I going to win? Am I going to lose? It's so exciting. And so I'm like, I'm feeling so good from that show. I'm going to get on a scale. So I went in, took off my shoes. I pretty much stripped down because every ounce counts. And I got, that's funny, every ounce counts. I'm making a t-shirt. And I got on that scale and I had lost 4 pounds. I was like, I had such a good weekend. And I lost
4 pounds.
Man, I got in the car, and on the way home, I was like, I need to do something about this because I'm feeling really good because I had a good weekend and I lost
4 pounds.
And on the way home, I knew what I was going to do. I thought, you know what? When I land at home, I'm going to just rest up, and then the next day, I'm going to go down to the sporting goods store, and I'm going to get me some jeggings. Some leggings. Those things I've been seeing women wear. I got myself a pair of hot pink ones with black slashes all over them. I got a pair of black ones that had gray netting up the side. I'm telling you, I made those things push out like sausage casing. I got a brand new white shirt. I got myself some new kicks, and I'm like, I'm going to get changed and go down. I put on the gray ones with that little bit of like mesh on the side. You know, I really look like I got them from Guns N' Roses, but I put on the white t-shirt, the shoes, and I was walking down. Downtown. I love my downtown. And as I was walking downtown, there were cars going by and they were blowing the horn. And I'm like, I know. I look good because I had a good weekend and I lost. I turned the corner and was walking down through the green space. Cars were going by, teenagers hanging out the side window, taking pictures with their phone. I'm like, I know. I look good and I lost. I made it across the square, turned, and that's when I caught a glimpse of myself in the plate glass window. There's only three things that tell the truth, people. Children, drunks, and leggings. But it was okay, because it was a bakery window. I went in and bought a cinnamon roll the size of my head. Went home, enjoyed it, peeled off those leggings, and I know that there was seismic occurrences of what fell out onto the ground, took off the clothing, gave it to Goodwill. I'm telling you, a week later, I saw a woman walking downtown in a pair of those pink leggings with the, and I put the window down. I'm like, you look good. Wear them proud. So you see, in this world, all of the love and all the applause can make us live in a false reality. But I'm not going to lie to you. I love the applause. Nobody gets on stage on a regular basis, weekly, daily, with a microphone, and they don't like applause. If someone says that, say, stop your false humility. We know you love the applause. It's okay. It's a safe space. Be yourself. I love applause. The definition of applause in the dictionary is approval, adoration, recognition. When I get applause, every cell in my body vibrates like a bell. And bells are good. Think about it. When bells ring, the dead are remembered. When bells ring, birds fly. When bells ring, we have hope. You know, as we move forward into a trembling future, one of the easiest things we can do to plow the earth of our relationships with each other, whether it be in our home, next door, in our community, in our country, in our world, is to applaud each other, to take the time to speak edification, to take the time to verbally applaud somebody. It costs nothing to ring that bell. Thank you.
That was Kim Whitecamp with Amusement Parks. While no one likes to eat humble pie, a slice once in a while can make us better people, or at least a little more tolerable to be around. Did you ever get a little too proud of something you had or something you could do? Did something come along to humble you a bit? How did that change you? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. Like this comment from listener Bonnie Falahi. She shares, I was listening to the podcast, but the video is just so good. Love these stories. Thanks. I'm happy they're available. Listen, Bonnie, we love to hear that. Thank you so much for sending us that message. Did you know that our stories are also available in video format on our YouTube channel? That's what Bonnie discovered. In fact, the story you heard from Antonio Rocha today, The Lion Prince, is one you can watch there. And if you think he's fun to listen to, he's even more fun to watch. Antonio was trained as a mime, and his physical performance is really not to be missed. If you've never been to our YouTube channel, check it out at the-apple-seed. Thanks, Bonnie, for listening and viewing The Appleseed. If you have a story or message for us, you can reach us through our social media channels or email us at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We want to thank Antonio Rocha and Kim Whitecamp for their tales today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, and Brian Tanner. Assistant producers include Garrett Gunnell, Carrie Griggs, Kay Hendrickson, and Nico Wetzel. And our post team is Trent Reimschussel and DJ Cromarty. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcasts, Kaboom for original audio adventures, and Wink, stories for better bedtimes. All our podcasts can be found on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on the BYU Radio app or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, leave us a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on the Appleseed.